We begin with COVID-19 restrictions. There are going to be fewer of them as we get into the weekend. With COVID numbers trending down in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper yesterday announced a new executive order easing some of the current restrictions. Some of the highlights: effective 5 p.m. on Friday, that 10 o'clock curfew will be lifted. The indoor gathering limit will increase from 10 to 25. Businesses will be able to sell alcohol until 11 p.m. instead of 9. And possibly the biggest one, bars and entertainment venues, including sports arenas, will be able to host customers indoors again at 30% capacity, up to 250 people. And larger venues can exceed that 250-person limit if they limit capacity to 15%. For the Smith Center, for instance, that would be about 3,200 people allowed in. Capacity limits are also going up for other businesses and outdoor venues, too, like the Durham Bulls Athletic Park just up the road. They'll now be able to hold, again, about 3,000 fans for a game. Making that announcement yesterday, Cooper praised North Carolinians for doing what was necessary to reduce the spread of the virus after a rough holiday season, and he urged everyone to keep following those basic precautions.
First, we have followed the science and the data from day one, and we have seen continued improvement over the last month. All of the numbers continue to move downward and stabilize. And when you look at the restrictions that we have put in place, the mandatory mask mandate, the curfew, you know that we are serious about slowing the spread of this virus. And I think that people have pulled together. Many are wearing masks and social distancing. Most businesses are complying with the executive orders. I think there's been a positive effect, and people deserve a pat on the back. And what we've said all along, that if our data indicates that we will ease these restrictions, notice that we're only lifting one restriction, and that's the modified stay-at-home order and the curfew. And we still have these other capacity restrictions in place and safety protocol requirements because we know that this virus is still here. Of course, you're concerned about the potential to backslide. And this is why we're going to continue to emphasize the importance of wearing a mask and social distancing, but also why we are continuing these restrictions in place, because we know that when people gather together, that there is a greater chance that the virus can be transmitted. So we think this is a positive step. We are going to continue to watch the data. If we can move some more in the future, we hope that that will happen as more people get vaccinated and we continue following the rules. But we're going to put health and safety of people first, and we'll do what we need to do in order to make sure that that happens.
That's Governor Roy Cooper speaking there. Other good news: federal officials are expected to approve a new one-dose vaccine from Johnson & Johnson on Friday. WNCN reporting North Carolina could get 30,000 to 60,000 doses of that vaccine next week. And with COVID numbers trending down, State Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler said plans are already in the works to have a state fair in Raleigh this October. Last year's was canceled. Turning now to sadder news, though, an update on the death of Chapel Hill fire official Donnie Morrissey, who was found killed in his Raleigh home on Tuesday. WRAL reports investigators have identified Morrissey's ex-girlfriend, 48-year-old Veronica Brooks, as the suspect in his death. Brooks was also found dead on Tuesday in a home in Wendell, along with a 9-year-old girl. Donnie Morrissey had been with the Chapel Hill Fire Department for nearly 15 years. State-level news: North Carolina is expecting to gain one seat in the U.S. House of Representatives once the 2020 census numbers are released. But due to COVID-related delays, those numbers likely won't be out until September. What does that mean for North Carolina? 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras reports.
Every 10 years, states are tasked with creating new maps for state legislative and congressional races. To do this, they use data provided by the census. Rebecca Tippett is the founding director of Carolina Demography at the Carolina Population Center at UNC. She's been closely tracking the census since its launch back in April of 2020. Tippett said two things are delayed due to census data taking longer than usual to be tabulated.
One is the apportionment counts for how many seats in the House of Representatives that each state gets. Typically, those are released in December, and those are coming out now April 30th. And then the data that's supposed to be coming out September 30th would have traditionally been released by the end of March.
Redistricting data gathered by the U.S. Census Bureau includes counts of population by race, Hispanic origin, voting age, and housing occupancy status at geographic levels as small as neighborhoods.
So we're about 6 months behind schedule on when we would typically get that redistricting data. And there's a few things behind that, but mainly that's really about the disruptions from COVID.
Overall, the census determines how $675 billion of federal funding is distributed over the next 10 years. Every person not counted in the community is a loss of more than $1,800 annually in state and federal funding. Due to complications in data collection stemming from the pandemic, instead of wrapping up at the end of July, the census collection period did not conclude until late October of last year. This extension shortened the traditional window of when the Bureau was able to calculate its data.
And then that was compounded because not only did COVID delay the data collection process, but it made some of that data harder to process because people were moving. You had college students who were supposed to be counted at their universities who had gone home and maybe counted in multiple places. So they're doing a lot more cleaning and kind of deduplication and really data checking to make sure that the census is as high quality as it can be.
Tippett said it's important to get an accurate population count so North Carolina can be accurately represented on a congressional level.
The final distribution of seats can be fairly sensitive to small fluctuations in population.
By the time 2020 census data is fully tabulated, North Carolina is expected to pick up a 14th seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. While North Carolina waits for delayed census data to be released in September, a crucial component in the state's redistricting plans, top election officials are urging state lawmakers to move all of this year's municipal elections to 2022 and bump back next year's primaries from March to May. The 2022 primaries include bids for U.S. Senate and House, judicial races, and state legislative seats. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Elsewhere in Raleigh, the state house has signed off on a bill that would create a six-week summer school program for students who fell behind during the pandemic. That bill now heads to the Senate. And good local news on the transportation front. The town of Chapel Hill has been named a silver-level bicycle-friendly business by the League of American Bicyclists. Earlier this month, Chapel Hill installed its first temporary in-road street path to facilitate walking and biking from Cedar Falls Park over to the Booker Creek Greenway. You can learn more about that on our website, chapelboro.com. Right now, time for sports, brought to you this hour by Wegmans, which, by the way, is now open, in case you missed that news. Had Carolina basketball won last night against Marquette, it would have been career win number 900 for Roy Williams. Unfortunately, he's going to have to wait a little longer for that milestone, as the Tar Heels fell behind early and never recovered in an 83-70 loss to Marquette. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trendle has more.
Just 4 days removed from arguably its most impressive win of the season, a 45-point blowout over Louisville, UNC came out flat in the first half on Wednesday night and ended up suffering its first home loss of the year. Marquette had lost six of its previous eight outings heading into this rare late-season non-conference game, but the Golden Eagles built an early double-digit lead and were ahead by as many as 18 points in the final minute before halftime. The Tar Heels scored just 4 points over the first 7.5 minutes of action and struggled to convert much of anything on the perimeter. Forwards Garrison Brooks and Walker Kessler combined to make all but three of UNC's made field goals in the first half, which allowed Marquette to build enough cushion to hold off a spirited Tar Heel comeback attempt in the second half. Primarily using a full-court press on defense, UNC was able to force the Golden Eagles into 13 second-half turnovers, cutting the lead down to just 8 at one point. The Tar Heels went cold down the stretch, however, as they were unable to finish the job for their head coach. Needless to say, Williams was not a happy camper afterwards.
We've had a couple of good wins, and then we turn around and we think we're a lot better than we really are. We don't have the attention to detail. It's bad coaching, bad coaching. I called a set one time, and I got out, and they ran another set. They're not disciplined enough to do what I say. They went out on the court and changed their mind.
The game was scheduled on just 4 days' notice after UNC sought out a replacement opponent for Boston College, who the Tar Heels were originally supposed to play on Tuesday. Brooks led the team offensively with 18 points on 8-for-10 shooting from the floor. As a unit, though, UNC shot just over 40%, while allowing Marquette to top the 50% mark on the other end. In addition, only two other games this season have seen the Tar Heels turn the ball over more than the 19 times they did so on Wednesday. UNC can take solace in the fact that this loss won't count in the ACC standings, but with an NCAA tournament berth still in question and a showdown against number 11 Florida State looming this weekend, it's safe to say things didn't exactly go as planned.
Well, guys, we've laid an egg a couple of times this year, and let's make sure we say this right here. Marquette beat our rear ends. They outplayed us. I said outcoached us. That's not something I enjoy saying, but they outcoached us. They outplayed us. They wanted it more, everything. I was very concerned before the game.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trendle.
That Florida State game is Saturday at 4 in the Smith Center. Will there be fans in the stands? No official word yet. Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham issued a brief statement yesterday saying details are still being finalized between university and state officials and local health experts. When the announcement is made, he says attendance priority will go first to the athletes' family members as well as UNC students. UNC baseball. Baseball is back in action today, hosting Virginia in game one of a three-game series. First pitch is set for 4, and the Tar Heel men's soccer team will get their spring season underway at 6 this evening, hosting Liberty in Dorrance Field. Big honor just in for Tar Heel women's tennis star Elizabeth Scotty. She was just named ITA National Women's Tennis Player of the Week for her performance in 3 dual match victories. Individual honors also for Tar Heel junior Benny Rabinowitz, just named ACC Men's Fencer of the Week. And in the pros, the Tampa Bay Lightning shut out the Carolina Hurricanes last night 3-0. Back-to-back losses for the Canes for the first time this season. And they'll look to get back on track tonight, and they're back in action again at Tampa Bay.